Welcome to Yarns at Yenhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 300, A Stilled Bell. Thursday, November 10th, 2022. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyenhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: The Back Porch, Yarn Lover at Large, Ever Expanding Skill Set, and Off the Shelf. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's a gorgeous and bright fall morning here in Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania, where I have a four-day weekend for the New Jersey Teachers Convention. And I am using some of this early time to record an episode and share some updates and things with you. And then I have my fiber friends coming in for a gal's weekend. So I'm really excited about that. It's episode 300. Thank you to those of you who have been following along from the very beginning. August 2013 was my first episode. And I have learned so much and grown so much and made so many friends through this endeavor of hosting an audio podcast about knitting and the fiber arts. I would love to hear from you about how long you've been listening, or any favorite episode or aspect of the show. I've been doing a lot of reflecting leading up to episode 300, perhaps so much that it's taken me a while to sit down and make this recording. One update that I have made since recording episode 299 is to create a Ko-fi page for supporters of the podcast. It's a new way to gain listener support and to share news and information and have very special content that only appears on the Ko-fi page. I have linked the Ko-fi page on my website, Yarns at Yenhu, and my Instagram page. You can find me as Sarah Pomegranate. There is some special content on there right now that I will kind of refer to during the podcast. And there is also a prize drawing in the works for anyone who becomes a monthly contributor. I've been working on a scrappy sewing project to create some ornaments that I'm calling cookie cutter cuties. It's a way to reduce waste and be inventive and creative. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm putting a collection of these little ornaments up as a prize drawing that I will do on December 21st. So anyone who becomes a contributor by December 21st is in the drawing for that prize. And you can see some really beautiful photos of the work that I've been doing on those if you head over to my Ko-fi page. I have also posted a few of my patterns as downloads for purchase on my Ko-fi page. This is in response to repeated requests that my patterns are available through means other than Ravelry. And Ko-fi has made it very easy to upload digital data and make it available for supporters. So if you've been one of the folks who's looking into that option, you may want to go over there and check it out. And if there is a pattern that you were hoping to find but didn't, please let me know, because I continually make progress in putting
my entire collection of patterns onto that site.
The back porch. It was a long time coming and it was a lot of knitting, but I did complete my Ornata blouse in time to wear for Saturday morning at Rhinebeck, and I am incredibly pleased with the result. The pattern is a design by Teti Lutzak. You may know her as Teti's Knit Garden. And it is a knitted blouse that has colorwork on the sleeves to imitate some of the ornate embroidery on traditional Ukrainian dress. I knit this design in lace weight yarn so that I could capture some of the blousiness of the inspiring type of costume. And I'm really glad I did for a couple of reasons. I think that the design really shines with a very lightweight yarn. And it was very, very comfortable to wear. Rhinebeck weather was sunny and quite warm. It was breezy. It was nice sweater weather, but I think I would have been overheated in a heavier sweater. And this was just beautiful and light, lots of fun to wear. And I'm so proud of the resulting product. I was knitting the ribbing and binding off on Friday night before Rhinebeck. There was just a lot of stitches on this sweater because it was such a fine gauge, and I was using US 2.5 and US 1.5 needles. I also really increased the amount of ribbing on the cuffs and the waistband of the sweater to get the look that I wanted. I added some short rows in the back before starting the waistband. And I fiddled around quite a bit to determine what type of bind-off to use for the cuffs and the waistband. Typically, I would use a tubular bind-off for 1x1 rib to get a nice professional edge, lots of stretch. However, this lace weight yarn would have just absolutely deteriorated with any kind of a sewn bind off and pulling yarn through stitch after stitch. So I thought a lot, I experimented quite a bit, and I finally settled on a bind off that Stephen West has made very popular. I believe it's a type of suspended bind off or Russian bind off, but he has a video explaining it. It's really simple but elegant in its execution, and I have linked it to my Ravelry pattern notes for this project. So I was able to finish the sweater and the Alabama Channon style reverse applique skirt to go with it, and wore them proudly on Saturday at Rhinebeck. Mary Beth wore her Teti's Knit Garden design, which is roots and shoots, and received lots and lots of compliments on her beautiful knitting. She also chose a very lightweight yarn to knit her sweater, and it was absolutely gorgeous in sort of a creamy gray and a porcelain blue. She had also knit a sweater for Tony, which was the Paul Klee sweater with bands and bands of gorgeous color work around the yoke. And he wore that proudly and probably received more compliments than any of us on what he was wearing, because it really was a stunning sweater. He wore it well. He knew all the information about it when he was asked, and he got a lot of attention on Saturday at Rhinebeck. So we had a fabulous time. Samuel and I traveled up to Rhinebeck to stay in an Airbnb with Mary Beth and Tony. It's so nice to be very close to the festival and to enjoy dining and other things right around that area. And the weather just, I mean, it was beyond perfect. With gorgeous sunshine, a little bit of breeziness, the trees and the foliage were just in gorgeous color. And everything was Rhinebeck perfect. On Sunday, Jenny came up to join us for the day. And we just really thoroughly enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed the festival without really too much of a checklist of things to go, places to be, or items to purchase. My number one favorite purchase at Rhinebeck is a hat that is thoroughly a reflection of the Hudson Valley Textile Project. It's a bucket hat made from woven wool, and the weaving was done by my favorite and yours, Lily Marsh. The yarn for that weaving was spun at Battenkill Fiber Mill, and the hat was cut and sewn locally. They had a pretty wide selection of colors and two sizes, medium and large. I just wear this hat with pride, with absolute pride and delight in the fact that the vision of the Hudson Valley Textile Project is coming to fruition, in that there is larger scale production utilizing fiber from the Hudson Valley and making it available in ready-to-wear items as well as products for knitters and crocheters and other makers. And I think this reaching a larger audience is really an important step and a reflection of all of the hard work that people like Mary Jean Packer and Carol Foster have been doing, and also the hard work of legislators who have taken these projects sort of on their shoulders and carried them forward with getting public attention, getting funding, and things like that. So whenever I put this hat on, I'm thinking of the culmination of all of those things that have come together. And it feels really good to use my dollars to support an endeavor like that. In the days leading up to Rhinebeck, I was looking at Taproot posts on Instagram, and even though I had not yet received my issue before leaving, I was very excited that there were two knitting patterns in the issue 53 of Taproot, a remedy hat and also a pair of mitts. They both looked absolutely beautiful in the photographs I saw on Instagram, and I thought, maybe I will cast around to see if I can find some yarn to knit these when I return, because I know that issue is going to be in my mailbox as soon as I get back. So I found some absolutely gorgeous yarn at Foster Sheep Farms booth in Building 31 at Rhinebeck. It's Carol's hand-dyed yarn with botanicals, and the colors I chose are Madder, Cosmos, and Indigo. This color combination was built on and inspired by some things that I had been looking at in this really charming gift that Mary Beth gave me. It's a small Japanese color guide, and it has combinations of color in pairs, trios, and quadrants. So you could think about ways to mix and match two, three, or four colors. And it just kind of revs up your way of thinking about color because I tend to get in a color rut sometimes. And so my head was sort of full of these color combinations. And when I went into Carol's booth, I chose this Matter, Cosmos, and Indigo trio to knit the Remedy Hat by Alicia Plummer. The hat, as pictured in the magazine, is knit in fingering weight yarn, and it's two natural colors of wool. So when I got the issue, I needed to think about how to make a fingering weight design work for the DK weight yarn that I had purchased. I was kind of excited about it because I thought the DK weight, you know, would knit up a lot more quickly. And because I bought three skeins, I was hoping to make three hats with it as well. It worked beautifully. I made a few adjustments in order to accommodate the DK weight yarn. And I'm really, really happy with the resulting hat. It has a beautiful kind of like wildflower, botanical design on the hat. The crown shaping is really darling. And because it's in DK, it's nice and warm. And I very scientifically weighed my yarn before and after knitting the first hat. And I have enough yarn to knit three hats and hopefully a pair of mitts as well with this yarn. So that is the Remedy Hat by Alicia Plummer from Taproot issue 53. I have put all of the adjustments that I made to convert this hat from fingering to DK weight on my Ko-fi page in a post. So if you're interested, you can find that information there. Next up will be a pair of mittens from that same issue with some Black Welsh Mountain worsted weight yarn that I bought from Ross Farm. These are also colorwork mitts, so I will need to dig around in my stash to find a white or creamy color to use for the contrast color in the mitts. But I think these will be like really, really warm because the Black Welsh Mountain is so dark. It will look nice with my black coat. It's kind of like a nature's black, not a true black. And I'm very eager to get started working on these mitts. Before I update you on Operation Pumpkin Everything, I should confess that I have stepped away from Stephen West's Mystery Knit Along. I very eagerly selected three colors from my stash and began the knitting. I think dreaming about the MCAL and choosing my colors was a very helpful antidote for the endless stockinette that I was racing to knit on my Ornata blouse. It was like I was knitting, but I was thinking of the next thing, you know, and there's a lot of hype and everyone was involved and the color choices were just amazing. And I really liked the fact that it was only three colors and that there wasn't a lot of like speckles or fades or things like that required to make this design work. It was a little more sedate in terms of color selection. And I found some great stuff in my stash, including this Jill Draper yarn in a black cherry colorway that I purchased the last time I went to Maryland Sheep and Wool. It's just been sitting in my stash, waiting to be used. And I was very excited about it. The clue one, however, I found to be engaging and interesting, certainly, but just way too much attentive knitting for me to keep up or to complete in a timely fashion as a full-time employee. Like I couldn't do it. And really, I was motivated to kind of like keep up with the clues and the mystery of the whole thing. And I think if I had stuck with it, I would probably still be working on clue one and all the casting on and binding off and keeping track of increases and things like that. So I let it go. Another thing that contributed to my decision to let it go is the fact that Jill Draper's yarn was just so stunning that I kind of started dreaming about knitting a sweater with it instead of a shawl that I wasn't completely sure I would love in the end. And so I think it was sort of like a swatching exercise in learning like, oh, you know, how spongy and amazing this yarn is, how it's labeled as a fingering weight, but it really knits up more like a sport, and how there's more than 1,000 yards of it. So using it in this shawl would have meant probably a lot of leftover yarn. And with a yarn this high quality, I just didn't want to go in that direction. So I haven't ripped out yet. It's still kind of sitting on the needles, but I have made very, very little progress on the MCAL shawl. And I think that the yarn, the gray and the red, are destined to become a sweater knit over the course of late fall and winter. If you are still working on the MCAL or if you have completed it, I salute you. I think it's a lot of interesting knitting, and it's really quite a contribution to the knitting community, the way Stephen West designs these shawls with lots of new techniques and gets people motivated to really try new things and try big projects, because it's a big investment of time and money to knit one of these shawls. And I thoroughly enjoy following along with all of the gossip and the progress and the beautiful photos of people's shawls. All right, on to Operation Everything Pumpkin, which is still going strong. This is my new tradition now. Wait until October if possible, or at least the first day of fall, and then just jump in with both feet and enjoy pumpkin everything. I've been enjoying some pumpkin beers. We had a new one released at our local brewery, and then just a few towns away, I tried another one the other night. I've been baking with pumpkin, making, let's see if I can list, and I will put these things in the show notes in case you're interested in the recipes. I've made pumpkin scones, which were amazing, from Sally's Baking Addiction. I've also been working on perfecting a pumpkin cream cheese squares recipe. And the perfecting it, I think I'm over baking it just a little bit because I'm putting it in a metal pan and not realizing that that bakes a little more quickly. So I've given this two tries, and this is a massive 9x13 pan. So I'm giving a lot of way every time I make this, but I've tried it twice, and I think I need a third go to really take it out of the oven before I think it's done, and that will be perfect. I've also doubled the cream cheese aspect of that recipe, in order to create sort of a creamier layer of cream cheese. And I really like that addition as well. I've made pumpkin stuffed with everything good, pumpkin sauce for pasta. I made a pumpkin pudding last night because I had half a can of pumpkin as well as some coconut milk. And I looked up a recipe for pudding with pumpkin and coconut milk, found a great one and it's absolutely delicious. It's like eating pumpkin pie without the crust. I think it just needs some creme fraiche or some whipped cream in order to elevate it a little bit. And let's see, what else? Did I make anything else pumpkin? Oh, I improvised a pumpkin soup as well. And that was delicious on a cold, rainy day on a weekend when I was just really feeling under the weather quite a bit. And that was very nice and restorative. I've also been enjoying putting pumpkin seeds on all and sundry baked goods and pasta and things like that. So if you're not done with pumpkin, you may enjoy going to my website and clicking on some of these recipes that I will link for you. Off the shelf, I mentioned Dr. Lily's weaving work in a previous segment, and I was so thrilled to see Dr. Lily at Rhinebeck and spend some time chatting with her. And she mentioned that she had just completed a poem, and she gave me a copy and gave me permission to read it as closure to this episode. You will find, as I often do, that I took the title for this episode from a line of the poem, A Stilled Bell. I've been thinking a lot about potential energy and stillness versus activity, or stillness in combination with activity. I think I've been spurred to thinking this way partly because I set on an endeavor just as school started this year to practice yoga every weekday morning. And I have kept up with it since August 30th. Oftentimes, I will also do an extended yoga practice on one or both days of the weekend. So nearly every day for 2 months, I've been doing yoga. And that is really something for me, not since the earliest days of the pandemic when I didn't know what to do with myself. And yoga was sort of like a grounding point. Have I done it? So, with such consistency. And the thing about a stilled bell, that image is so interesting, is that it gets you thinking not only about what is, but leaning into what could be, what almost certainly will be. When you see a bell and it's not ringing, you assume that at some point it will be ringing. And what will it sound like? And what will the fulfillment of that action be? I think that's a very interesting point to consider in light of making and crafting. And I've felt like a stilled bell sometimes recently. My output has not been as much as it sometimes is. And yet I feel like my mind is very engaged and I'm very actively thinking about a lot of things and thinking about making and crafting all of the time. In particular, I've been thinking about my endeavor for the next 100 days project and what I would like to do. And I hope to talk a little bit further about that in my next episode. I often link the text of a poem in the podcast, but because I've encouraged Dr. Lily to seek publication for this poem. I'm just going to read it aloud and leave it at that. And hopefully at some future date, I will be pointing to you toward the place where it is published. This is a poem titled Fancy Work by Dr. Lily Marsh. It's an old name for an old urge to lift the merely useful into the quite beautiful. Squarely in the tradition of women's work and the Shakers. To sit quiet, meditating on stitches, silent as a stilled bell, repetitive as a rosary. To sit and stitch on, smiling at the voices of the unbelievers. Walmart has some cute mittens on sale right now. Stitching on again, faithful to skill and attention, apprentice to an ancient practice. And for what? What virtue in mastery of needlecrafts in the age of the internet? For pleasure, pure and brilliant, pleasure of the body, the skill of hands and eye trained to partnered deftness, pleasure of the mind, the pure idea of beauty made incarnate by mathematics and muscle in cloth. Pleasure of the soul, that the warmth of our hands be made out of an act of devotion.